that has big time camp. What the movie will be the ultimate champ. You might be finger crazy, my finger diseased, but do you watch another chance to find the best of this?
We rate each movie in 5 categories, none of which are objective quality.
It's Stan, Gene, Jack and Nick who watch it till it's finished, because the love for this movie can be diminished. And make the film's plot has no rhyme or reason, but that's a part of charm.
Colin Brad is off the season.
It's low budget film that is most true. They find a flick that monster boogaloo.
Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
Yogmala, Yogmala. Welcome back, my friends, to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Oh, this is season 9, If You Show Me Yours. And I am so happy to be here. I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu, and I am joined, as per usual, by my good friends. And this time, I got Jack Hall.
Hello.
Hello, Jack. And I got Nick Boxer.
What's happening, man?
What's happening? Oh, yeah. Yo, dude. And then, of course, we have Gentleman James Cotta.
I want to say that I'm going to take all the money that I make from this episode and in tribute to this movie, I'm going to spend it all on hookers.
All on hookers. Okay. Well, this movie, and what movie is that, you may ask? And this movie is Trick Baby. So I know that Nick brought us Trick Baby, and so Nick, please explain Trick Baby.
I see what you did there.
I was a little bit hesitant to bring this one up because, you know, you honky's got no soul.
Hey, I'm a cracker.
That's enough of that shit. This movie is a con movie, which I love. I love grifters. You know, as they rip off suckers. And this is about one particular pair of grifters. One black, one white, blue, and
they're both
folks.
Black.
Sorry, I was referring to actors that played them.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Yes.
And yet you called them by the character names. I
I don't. Yes. Sorry, two black con men, one named Blue, one named Folks. Blue is an old-time grifter, and Folks is a younger man who makes his living by passing as white, cast by probably the whitest actor they could get, did not look black at all, and they're out for the big con, but can they leave the city before their past catches up with them? The answer may surprise you. Not really.
The answer may be exactly what you kind of expect from that.
Yeah, this is a fairly standard genre movie, but it is so bizarre. Just the fact that they cast a white man in a black role, even if he's trying to pass. And, you know, the con shit in this is pretty good. I don't think I've seen any of these scams in other con movies. And isn't that why you watch, like, one of these hustlers movies? And, you know, they rip off the man real good. The suits are fabulous because this is a blaxploitation movie. The jive talk is jiving. I enjoyed it greatly, so I hope you guys did too. I don't think there's any more plot than that.
I mean, that's the thing, right? I like this movie. Yeah, I really like this movie.
Yeah, this is a really good... I think this has become a theme, I think. Nick picking movies that I'm like, that's a really good movie. It's a B movie, but it's a really good movie. But it's not a boogaloo movie. Like, there's not a lot of schlock or WTFs or anything. But as far as being a terrific movie, I'm really glad that I got a chance to watch that. I never would have seen if Nick hadn't picked it. Like, this is way up there. Like, it's well acted. And it's got a smart script. It's based on an Iceberg Slim novel and really, like, you know, very loosely based, I do hear, but still, really, like, interesting piece of cinema. A lot of really interesting stuff about race and as far as the blaxploitation film, what's different about it that's interesting is that most blaxploitation films are about empowering the black characters and the black movement. And, you know, they're standing up to the man and empowering them. And this one really doesn't do that at all. Like,
no,
like,
actually every black character in there is like really out. I mean, we got black characters willing to pull guns for nothing.
Yep. Yeah, you got a corrupt cop who's black, instead of a white guy. You got just the characters themselves. They're the one guy that, like I say, he's the trick baby, right? He looks white, which is why you cast a white guy to play him. It's not a typical blaxploitation empower the black movement type of film. So it's got a completely different take, which makes it unique and a very enjoyable film. But how will it score on a Boogaloo scale? Probably, unfortunately, not too well.
I like the cons. Like, the cons I did find really interesting. Like, I wasn't sure what I was getting. Like, there's that first few minutes where it feels like, oh, okay. So maybe this is Boogaloo. And then you hit the con and it's just like, oh, no, this is a good con movie. Yeah.
I will say the blacks are really black and the whites are very white. My God. I mean, you couldn't come up with a more ridiculous scenario for the rich white folk if you tried. I mean, they're sitting around with servants. They're all, ooh, Tiffy. Poor white people in this movie.
Well, no, but some of them are mobsters and whatever. I mean, that's not, if you're going to run a con trying to make a lot of money, you don't sit there going, let's go after the poor person. So, like, that makes sense, right? Like, that's who you'd go after. You'd go after the person with money, which is, in this case, was a mob guy, which is one of the things that caused them trouble. And then, so basically, they have this scam where they run a smaller scam on this person, and this person ends up dying, and his nephew is like a mob boss and is going to kill them. And so they have to run this bigger scam that just kind of fell into their lap, and it is taking longer to pull off than they figured. So they have, but they want to run this huge scam where they can get hundreds of thousands of dollars before the mob people catch up to them and kill them. So it's like I say, really, it's a good film.
Now,
let's go to scoring.
Yes, let's go to scoring.
Jim's being very quiet.
If anyone can explain to me how they get the money out of the envelope when they put it in the mailbox, that
they didn't put the money in the envelope. They put toilet paper in the envelope.
That was another smart. The money came out the bottom, right? Okay.
No, it didn't come out the bottom. They just pulled a con job and just dropped it directly into the other guy. Like, Blue dropped it into folks' hands.
Really well done, too.
No, it did go through the envelope because they make a deal of showing him cut a hole in the envelope. So that
Right.
That's
okay.
Because, the cop watches him put it in. But it's like, it's basically a magic trick. He puts it in and it falls through the bottom, yeah. It's strange that hole's never noticed again because, like, the cop then handles the thing for the next 5 minutes. But, but you know. that's neither here nor there. I think I'd echo Jack that the comments on race relations are surprisingly, like, for the time and for the type of movie, there's kind of surprising depth to that part of the film, because there is the whole part of white folks that he can pass and that his life is different because he can pass as white, and most of the people around him think he's white. And then like the whole thing with the rich people that folks ends up at dinner with all of these very well off high society white people, and they have this those characters have this conversation about conservatism and liberalism, and the liberal is talking about how he's not talking about like equality or protection or diversity. He's talking about using liberalism to keep blacks in line. And how he says the conservative policies will keep them hopeless, and hopeless people are dangerous. So you've got to leave them hope, rather than doing anything for them. So it's like, there's a lot of depth to that part that was really a surprising cool. amount. And yeah, just the ongoing thing with of white folks and the way that he relates to other people.
Well, because he personally identifies as black.
Yeah,
because his mother was black, his father was white. So but he completely looks white. So he identifies as black, and yet he doesn't identify with the people who he looks like. But the people he does identify with, a lot of them don't like him because he looks white. And he's somewhat ostracized within that community when he tries to fit in, unless he happens to have Blue with him, who kind of is that buffer, because Blue helped kind of raise him, took him in when he was young, and which is where he started to teach him the scabs. So
To that point, do you think Blue was folks' pimp, folks' mom's pimp? Because you said you took him in.
I got the sense that that's later. I didn't get the sense that he raised folks, but that he kind of mentored him after a certain point. But I don't know if they say specifically.
See, I read it the opposite way, that he was definitely the pimp, which adds another like dimension to the relationship.
See, to me, he always felt like a con artist. He never felt like he was mm-hmm. a pimp, but. On the other hand, again, this could be where, because it's an Iceberg Slim book, who, wrote the book based on his life, and who, Dave Chappelle in 2018 kind of brought him in his Netflix special, kind of brought him back to the forefront where he became a bestseller again. So because of this, it may be something from the novel. And like I say, it's not 100% a direct representation of the novel. So that might be just a little, that line is a little blurred. I'm not really sure to where to come down on it.
Hmm. I think we can probably go. We're not really talking about plot. We're talking about like themes that we're doing. Yeah. We're about film studies. Class.
No. It's just a very different film than, it's quite it's got some funny moments, but it's generally quite a serious film. Certainly the ending is very serious.
Indeed.
All right.
And there are some great hats.
All right, Inner Search for the Ultimate B Movie.
So we're right to score.
Yeah, we're doing some.
What else do you want?
We're not even talking about. This is the time to talk about plot, and we're not talking plot. We're just like another film that may suffer in scoring for being just a good movie. So because we do not rate these films on objective quality, we rate them on five other categories. The first category of those.
Before we do, I'm just wondering, now that this has happened a couple times actually with Nick, if you were to give us a definition of Boogaloo, what is your definition?
My definition?
Yeah.
You know what? I am not particularly going for Boogaloo per se when I pick a movie. I assume we're going to watch every movie ever made and rate them on a Boogaloo scale. I am just picking movies that I want to share with people.
Okay. Right.
So I will never pick like the completely obvious choice.
That explains much. Well... Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Stan and I were talking about this off air, and one of the strange things this season is that with that rule that no two of us can have seen the movie before, really created this unexpected limitation. of the films that we had to go pretty obscure on all of these. I do remember when we were pitching these that this was Nick's fifth or sixth one on his list.
Many of his other ones would have been like the same, what is it, Lazy Crazy Harry, Dirty Mary, or whatever. Same thing. It's a really good movie. There's not really a lot of WTF until the end, which is maybe the greatest WTF of all time. But yeah.
No, I just pick films with Boogaloo elements. I'm not trying for a high score.
All right. See, that's where we differ. I want movies that are going to get a high score. You want movies that are going to that you just want to show us. Okay, good to know.
Well, like I say, I'm not upset to have watched this film. Terrific film.
No, and quite frankly, I think you guys pick sometimes. We've seen some bad films.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I kind of would like to dilute that a little and actually have a little bit more quality.
Oh yeah, no, it's true. We do have some bad films. On the other hand, you can't say that Among the Shadows, we didn't laugh our ass off talking about it.
Yeah. No.
Many times.
But I also have to watch these films.
That's true.
That's why I always try to pitch 70-minute movies. What was that, Nick?
No, and as Jack said, he almost didn't finish in The Shadows, was it? Oh, God, that one's forgettable. I can't remember the title now.
we talked about it not that long ago.
Nope.
No, it's not a good movie.
But you almost turned it off and just decided to lie. And,
yeah,
you know,
I was definitely
I've been in that situation. I've watched every film so far. But I want to minimize those moments.
Well, I'll personally take those moments. If it means that I also get a moment like when I watch Frankenstein Island or Deadly Prey or Ninja 3.
Yeah, that's right.
Like to me, that's worth it.
Are you claiming that I would not pick Ninja 3?
No, I'm not. You definitely would have.
I consider picking Ninja 3 again for next season. I'm like, is there any ninja movie that's got a lot of magic in it?
You know what? Ninja 3, the Domination. No spoilers for my picks for next season, then. I don't want to say what they are, but you don't worry. You're covered.
I was sitting there talking to my wife, Lacey, and I joked about Ninja 3 being a magic movie. And I said, well, I have a katana that's above the fireplace here. My understanding is it can give you magical powers. And automatic ninja skills. So I'm willing to try this.
Well, it has to be possessed first off.
I always just assume.
You didn't. Yeah. I mean, that wasn't made for you. You got that sword from someplace else. So.
I got it at a yard sale, which is the beginning of every one of those movies.
Yeah.
That's true.
Every cursed object movie starts that way. So.
All right. Congratulations.
All right, let's get to the scoring. Now let's score this son of a gun.
Schlock appeal, Stan.
All right. I am going to give this movie a 0 because I don't think it's schlocky at all. I think it's really good, and I think that it actually is trying to have a message in there. So I just straight up don't think it's schlocky.
Disagree. It's marketed as a blaxploitation movie. 5. Not huge, but still, it has schlock.
I think the fact is it is a small budget film, even though it's distributed by Universal. It's a small budget film. So based on that, there is some schlock, but it's not high because it's a quality film as well. So I'm giving it a 3. This is too bad that this film is getting these scores.
The tagline on the poster is shake hands with folks and blue and then count your fingers.
That's a great tagline.
It's his tagline. I think it does have some elements of that blaxploitation. It also has some elements of The Sting, but it actually precedes The Sting, which is kind of cool. So 4 for me. More heart than budget. Budget, you know the budget number? Do we have one?
I don't.
No. I don't. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's really interesting. Again, it's like you're
it's
doing
not big, though.
Yeah, no. I mean, you're doing a relatively serious movie. You've got all the elements you need. The acting is good. The story's really good. They obviously have enough money to do that, and I thought the performances, you know, work and everything works. So, you know, it's very hard to say. We know it's low budget, so I'll go with a 5 just because I don't know what else.
Without a citation, Wikipedia says $600,000.
Okay.
So I'll go with a 4. That seems still a little high.
I think whatever money they put that they put into this film, it's on the screen. Solid story. At no time did I wish they had more money. So, I'll give it a 6.
I go higher because I think that everything that this defies, at only 600,000, this defies all expectations to be as good as it is. And there is so much heart, and we talk about the race relations and the social commentary of it and everything. And so and how much you care about these characters by the end, you really grow to love them. So I'm giving it an 8.
Nice. Yeah, I think they also, it's strange that it's, some people consider it blaxploitation, some don't, because it doesn't drift too far into the exploitation part. You know, it's not Shaft, it's not Superfly. They're not anti-heroes. They're just hustlers. And all the victims, you know, they are that comment of how, you know, these, all of their victims are people who are trying to get something over on someone else. So it's not, they're not ripping off innocent people. They're ripping off people who are willing to take advantage of an opportunity to begin with. 7 for me. What the fuck moments?
Yeah. I mean, as I was watching this, there wasn't a lot. Like, there was some moments right off the top where it felt like it was trying to be blaxploitation, but then it really drifted away from that pretty quickly. I mean, some of the scenes in the bar are a little odd because everybody's really orange when they're with the lighting of the bar. but I didn't see a lot where I was just like, oh man, that seems really out of place. That's so totally crazy. I'm just gonna go with a 3.
Yeah, I'm going even lower. The WTF is not high with this one. I'm gonna give it 1 for that one guy in the hat in the bar that you could take a bath in. It's a cap. It's magnificent. But yeah, the WTFs just aren't there.
Yeah. I'm giving it a 2. I think that scene in the bar is the only one that we can mention. And for me, it wasn't even a WTF in the moment. It's a WTF because I'm pretty sure when I looked at it, that's where Dave Chappelle got the concept of the Player Hater Club. So, And by the way, that's one piece of trivia. Almost everybody in that bar, outside of the lead actors in it, was an actual person who attended that bar. Patron of the bar. So 2, yeah. That's all I can give it. Damn it.
I think the only thing that drifts into what the fuck for me is the timeline of the third act, because they're told that like they get stuck. And they got to wait till 10 a.m. when the bank opens to get their money back out for their big scam. And then the time that everything takes place makes no sense from then on, because they talk about 10 a.m. being tomorrow. They talk about it being later today. They talk about last night being something that happened several days ago. So it gets really muddy there of what actual time of day anything is taking place in. The only other one is, and it is both like this commentary on race and a what the fuck moment, which is the point at which folks burns a cork and puts on blackface when he's talking to this girl he's picked up. And he's doing it. But it is this, I'm not giving it a lot of what the fuck, because it is this like subtle commentary on, you know, he's putting on blackface, but he identifies as a black person. So it's an odd commentary. Three for me. So I can't give it too much for that. Memorable moments.
I mean, it's memorable, absolutely, in the fact that this is a good movie and that I would absolutely want to watch this movie again. Like, the, you know, the quality was a little low on where we watched it, but, like, I, you know, this is one I'd love to see, like, on a Blu-ray, even, just to see the highest quality that I could, because I would totally watch it over again. So I'm going to give it a 6 for just being good.
Yeah, this movie has stuck with me for a number of years, and I can't ever get anyone to watch it with me because I do love this film. That's the explanation why it's here. Yeah, it stuck with me, so I'll give it a 7.
Yeah, it doesn't have anything that's really a big moment where it's like, wow, that's memorable. Or that, you know, hits, you know, some kind of the any pop culture, you know, moment or anything like that. It's just an overall good movie, like Stan said. I think he summed it up well, so I will give it a 6 as well.
All right. I think, I mean, I also like con movies. I also like scam movies. So I'll give it a 6 for that, because that's also what I'll remember is kind of the things that they got up to are going to stick with me. 6. Crazy concept.
Jesus. I mean, again, here we are, where it's just like, it is a crazy concept to take, you know, something that has the roots of a blaxploitation movie and flip that on its head. The weird thing is that that's a crazy concept, but in a good way. Whereas, you know, when we talk about crazy concepts and we talk about like ninjas and like Deadly Prey and that kind of thing, there's none of that stuff in this. So, you know, when I say it's got a crazy concept, it's crazy and really fucking awesome that they decided to do it. I can only go with a 5 just because I think that the crazy of the concept is just almost important.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to give this one a 4 just on the basis of you could never make this movie today. You could never cast a white man as a black actor or a white actor as a black man passing as a white man. I think it's absolutely a product of its time, and there is no other movie that does that I can think of and is successful at it. So, did I say 3 or 4? I'm 4.
Yeah, I think White Chicks is probably the closest you get to this movie.
and White Chicks is great. Make no doubt.
that was scoring a Boogaloo scale better than this is.
Yeah, yes, it would.
Yeah, I can't. It's just not that crazy to me. I'm sorry, guys. 3.
Yeah, all those things. 4. All right. That brings us to the end of scoring. And every season we have 6 secret modifiers. This film does get 3 of them. It does get a -1 for the three others than Nick, low rating the film. Unfortunately, all of our scores came in under 25 out of 50. It gets a +1 for being the first film we've seen from this director, Larry Yost, who directed only 5 or 6 feature films. Does get a +1 for its obscurity. It does have under 500 votes on IMDb. But that brings it to a grand total of 44.5 out of 100, which puts it between Halloween 6 and Captain America 2, which does not belong on the list.
Totally doesn't belong. Yeah.
One of these things is not like the other. All right.
Yeah, it's really weird. This is just one of those cases where I know we don't talk about it very much. We don't score it very high. It doesn't fit on. It is a total outlier because I consider there to be very little actual Boogaloo to this movie. But yeah. Will I watch it again? Hell yes, I will.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Very. This is one of the films I'd recommend to listeners the most that we've ever watched. To watch, I'd recommend it a bunch of above many films that we scored higher, but don't come at it from a film point of view, not from a Boogaloo point of view.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Readily available on DVD. There's a couple of different DVD editions that are really cheap they're not a sponsor, so I won't say the name of the website that ships things to your house. But there's something called the Soul Showcase, which is three films for $8 or $10 or something. So well worth the price of admission.
I believe Black Samson is on that one.
Ooh, Black Samson.
Good movie. And that's good one. He has a lion.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the bomb.
Well, that's always good.
Nice. Let's wrap things up.
Yeah, I think we wrap it.
Yeah, okay. Well, next movie up, we got Gutterball. See, and this here we go. Like, this is good because we know that we can do a lot longer on that because we did a lot shorter on this. So
well, and the thing is, this movie, Trick Baby, couldn't be more opposite of Tales from the Quadrant Zone and Gutterballs. Like, it's the complete opposite end. So we're covering everything for you on this podcast. You're welcome, folks.
Yeah. That's it's important to be able to do that. So anyways, join us next for wrapping up the season with Gutterballs. You know, season 9, If You Show Me Yours, it's been a completely mixed bag, but you know, hey, we get to they're not all going to be winners, and we've gotten to really explore the octagon and explore the B-movie genre a lot more with this season.
And the other thing that's happening on the next episode is,
of course, we choose the movies that are going into our magic season. So I'm very much looking forward to that.
What's the magic season called again? What's the title?
Do You Believe in Magic?
There you go. So that's going to be fun to find out what the movies will be for the next season.
That's right. And what we all consider
one thing
magic.
We are not lacking is a chance for Boogaloo movies with magic in them.
Oh, hell's no. Hell's no. So it's good. I look forward to getting back to the high scores again and that kind of thing. So, but I guess we're going to see what happens. Okay, so let's wrap this sucker up. For Nick, and for Jack, and for Jim, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu, and thanks for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo!
Get the hell out of here!
Where's Blue?
Well, should I know?
Trick Baby.
You wouldn't know the truth if it walked up and spit you in the face.
Trick Baby, the best-selling novel by Iceberg Slim, hottest black writer in the world today. The real gut story of the ghetto, its bras, its dudes, and high rollers like Blue Howard, the slickest con man of them all.
Tonight, I'm drinking to the suckers, God bless their greedy little hearts. Because without them, where would us hustlers be?
Trick Baby.
Touch those rocks, and you're dead.
Trick Baby.
Yeah.
Wasn't there some
else?
No,
lie.
Hey,
some
kind of car together.
You better believe it.
You know who sold them the phony rocks?
Well, I don't know, Mr. Pirelli, but I think they were colored.
Find them for me.
What did he do for his share?
I tell beautiful lies for my money, Cleo.
His white skin gives us a slick edge.
I catch the black marks, he catches the hump.
$10,000 in cash, you bring $90,000. You bring it in cash, strictly cash on the table. That's for your protection.
I want $5,000.
What for?
So I don't go to the phone booth and call Nino and tell him how you did the old man.
Trick Baby. Trick Baby.
Get away from me, you're a dead man.
What do you want more, the money or to keep on breathing?
I want both.
Well, you can't have both!